Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Kind of wish that I lived more down by the harbor, you know, in a house that's not quite a house, especially one that I could just pick up and leave whenever I wanted to. You know anything like that?
Houseboats, they're called.
Oh, that makes great sense.
Don't want to live on a houseboat.
That's probably true. The internet's probably terrible.
Yes. You could get satellites, I guess, if you really, it probably costs a lot. Hey guys, how you doing out there? We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you get access to all our bonus content, and there's obviously bigger and better things if you want to pledge more. We've hit our $100 goal, and so I have already written two different posts. Have gone up on Patreon. Most recent is about Comic Book Guy, my complex feelings about him.
What's to be complicated about? He's amazing.
That was pretty much the opposite of what I said, Matt.
Oh,
I know. It's okay. It's okay to disagree with me. We are within sight of our next goal, which is a moon waffle video of just eating, making and eating moon waffles. I'm excited. I've also
using real butter.
Real butter. And I've also recorded a Let's Play of a Simpsons video game. Once I get it cut correctly, I will be posting that as well. We have some people we need to thank, Matt.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Is it a lot of people?
A lot of cool people? I don't know how you want to describe a lot. It's a good handful, and they are all very cool people, because they help us keep doing this show. We really like to thank all of them. Thank you, Gregory Freeman.
Thanks, Gregory.
Thank you, Brendan Roach, or Roche.
Brendan, you rock.
Thank you, Dan Page. Dan, thank you.
Dan the man.
And finally, Mike Bloom. Thank you, Mike.
Mike, you rock. And roll.
Ooh, and roll. if you want to help show in another way, you can just go to iTunes or wherever you listen to us and rate, review, and subscribe to us. It really helps us out, gets more people to find us. If you don't know what to say, here is something you can write. Me hate podcast, that's impossible. I'm proud of that one.
That's a good one. I like it.
Yeah. On to this week's episode. It is Cape Fear. A great one. Originally aired October 7th, 1993. Written by John Vitti. Directed by Rich Moore. Originally aired, finished 32nd in the ratings with a Nielsen rating of 12.3. Highest rated show on Fox that week.
It's true. Everyone else was out watching, you know, sports and things get higher ratings, which is just wrong.
Well, it's the only thing that's going to have high ratings, I think, in the immediate future now, Matt. Let's see. Chalkboard gag. Cafeteria deep fryer is not a toy.
Well, anything can be a toy if you try hard.
And deep fryers are, like, even my limited exposure to small deep fryers, it's pretty fun just to deep fry random garbage.
That's true.
I mean, not, like, food, but, like, not typical deep fryer food.
Still things you would eat, but, you know, candy bars, ice cream, things
Oreos,
like that.
Oreos. My favorite is Baby Ruth. That's the best. Deep fried Baby Ruth was my favorite of everything.
Wow.
Couch gag is the song and dance chorus line, couch gag, which we've seen multiple times, usually included in episodes that are too short. They want to lengthen them. And it is a good example in this one because this episode was running very short. So they tried to lengthen it as much as possible, which will come into play very, later on in kind of some very iconic scenes. Of course, guest starring Kelsey Grammer as Sideshow Bob, does an amazing job as usual. He's the best.
Well, yeah.
This is also apparently the favorite episode of Hank Azaria.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame him. It's a great one. There's a lot of stuff. We'll get into it as we go along. The episode begins with the kids watching a late-night talk show, but it's Rainier Wolfcastle, but it's up late with McBain.
Yeah, I assume that's supposed to be a joke based on his character, like... what's one of Arnold Schwarzenegger's famous characters? Up Late with Commando, or...
John Matrix is his name in Commando, Matt.
The fact that you knew that blows my mind.
Commando is a very good action flick.
It really is. It kind of started the whole thing.
Name in Predator is Dutch. I don't know if we ever get a last name.
Dutch, of course.
Dutch and Predator, let's see. We played Mr. Freeze, but I don't really consider that one of his... The Terminator?
That
the
is
Terminator
fantastic.
The Terminator
with Victor Freeze.
The Terminator didn't get a name either. But It's the strangest thing in this episode. And it stands out because it's like they are just making fun of bad talk shows, I guess. The announcer even has a swastika. He's wearing a Nazi uniform, but he actually has a swastika on his arm. I caught that. Very weird seeing that. It's more Fox bashing. I guess that's the excuse. But after that very brief bit, we kind of jump right into the meat of the episode where both the kids receive letters.
Dear Lisa, as I write this, I am very sad. Our president has been overthrown and...
replaced by the benevolent General Krull. All hail Krull and his glorious new regime. Sincerely, little girl.
You got a letter too, Bart. I'm going to kill you.
And do you remember the first time you saw this episode, Matt?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't remember the first time, though.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember if I knew that it was Bob at first. Like, because
I don't think I did.
I'm not positive I did. I want to say that as a child, I probably didn't piece it together, even though it's kind of obvious looking back. But of course, we don't have the benefit of like years of rivalry between Bart and Bob. It's only been a few episodes where they've kind of gone back and forth. So, you know, there's a still mystery here. We don't really know that it's Bob necessarily. So, and Bart is getting these death threats written in blood, in the mail, many of them,
You'd think they would, you know, they inspect prisoners' mail, at least in most real facilities. So you'd think they'd catch on, like, this doesn't seem, you know, healthy or seems like a lot of disease to get out this way.
It's Springfield. That's if anything happens outside the norm, it's Springfield. They, you know, they don't really enforce many laws. We get an itchy and scratchy cartoon. Spay Anything is the name of it. We get a little bit of a Goldfinger parody with which Scratchy on the, you know, a table with a laser coming at him. We see that later again in We Only Move Twice with Mr. Bond.
Well, it's very important to parody James Bond as much as possible.
It is.
One of those cultural touchstones.
They're trying to figure out who is the person mailing these letters. We get, apparently Homer has sent in his own.
I heal you, scum.
After Bart has gotten Wide Load tattooed on Homer's butt. I don't... But Homer makes the assumption that it'll be the last person you think it would be, which I no, that's not.
Well, that's why he wants to call Matlock.
Grandpa wants to call Matlock. We cut to the schoolyard where, with the help of Milhouse, Bart is trying to figure out if it's anyone at school that is wanting to kill him.
I checked around. The girls are calling you fatty, fat, 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 and Nelson's planning to pull down your pants, but nobody's trying to kill you. Oh, that's good. Fatty, fat, 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 fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
This episode is constantly back and forth between, like, really ominous and threatening and dramatic kind of tension, like you'd see in a thriller, like Cape Fear, like it's based on, but also balance that back and forth between, like, these very, like, just very lighthearted, funny, even silly moments. Mm. And it does it so well, and it never feels weird.
Well, it never lingers too long on one or the other. It always is a back and forth. And that's what I think works so incredibly well.
Yeah. And, like, right, you get that. You get that moment in the schoolyard where Bart gets pantsed and all the girls are calling him names. And when he wakes up to a song, Wipeout, being dedicated to him being murdered, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could call in dedications for murder. But he wakes up. We really get into the mindset of Bart, like how he feels, like he doesn't know who it is. Like they are really sustaining this mystery, at least through this first act. He thinks it could be anyone.
Bart, I'm going to get you. Some ice cream at the store, since I'm saving so much money on Diet Cola.
Say your prayers, Simpson.
Because the schools can't force you like they should. Ma, these new finger razors make hedge trimming as much fun as sitting through church.
Your are going to be my murder victim, Bart. In our school production of Lizzie Borden, starring Martin Prince as Lizzie.
40 whacks with a wet noodle, Bart!
Sorry, just Martin.
Yeah, Martin in drag is wonderful. Lizzie Borden is actually was found innocent of those crimes.
Yes, very innocent.
It's not fair. Just because it was in the court of public opinion she was found guilty does not mean she actually did anything, Matt.
Sure.
Okay, thank you for agreeing. Marge and Homer go to the police with these a mound of letters. Like Maddox, like already said, well, what, you know, maybe they should try and stop this. And we find out how little Wiggum knows what the law is.
Well, I'd like to help you, ma'am, but I'm afraid there's no law against mailing threatening letters.
I'm pretty sure there is.
The day I take cop lessons from Ma Kettle...
Hey, she's right, Chief.
Well, shut my mouth. It's also illegal to put squirrels down your pants for the purposes of gambling. Hey, boys, knock it off.
Those poor squirrels.
I know. It's really the worst part of their lives.
Trapped in some dark place. Lisa's on the case with Bart, I guess. You get a lot, it's mainly family stuff in this. Lisa thinks, like, who would it be? Who would be a person who'd be upset at you, who'd be angry at you? She cold calls Mo and suspecting that he's the one doing it, tells him the jig is up. Mo, not knowing what she's talking about, we see him in the first of, animal smuggling rings he has. Because this is not the first, this is not the last time we see it, but he sets free some pandas, which...
Well, you know, exotic animals are a lot of money maker, and Mo needs help, because the bar is not doing so well.
I guess so. It's at this point we finally, the kind of the mystery of who it is revealed. As the act ends, we see that it is indeed Sideshow Bob.
Dear life in these United States, a funny thing happened to me.
Use a pen, Sideshow Bob.
And that's, like, that, again, like, Bob has been writing in blood this entire first act, and then he passes out. Like, it's just such a nice reversal of this threatening image we're seeing. Kelsey Grammer is great. Apparently, he doesn't like doing those laughs. I imagine.
Aw, why?
Probably hurts his throat. It's a very...
Nah.
I don't know. But that is the end of the first act. We go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Sideshow Bob up for parole. This is a little extended one, so just keep listening. It's great.
Next up for parole, Bob Terwilliger, a.k.a. Sideshow Bob.
Take care, Snake. May the next time we meet be under more felicitous circumstances.
Gah?
Take care. Bah.
Sideshow Bob has no decency. He called me Chief Pig'em. Now I get it. Good.
Sideshow Bob tried to kill me on our honeymoon.
How many people in this court are thinking of killing her right now? Be honest.
She's always leaving the toilet seat up.
Robert! If released, would you pose any threat to one Bart Simpson?
Bart Simpson? The spirited little scamp who twice foiled my evil schemes and sent me to this dank, urine-soaked hellhole?
We object to the term urine-soaked hellhole when you could have said pee-pee-soaked heckhole.
Cheerfully withdrawn.
What about that tattoo on your chest? Doesn't it say die, Bart, die?
No, that's German. For the Bart, the.
No one who speaks German could be an evil man.
Parole granted.
It's true. No one who speaks German can be an evil man.
It's impossible.
Just in case you guys didn't know that.
It's such a great classic line. One of the best. Yeah. It's so good.
But as you heard, Bob was granted parole for some strange reason. I guess they're not good at seeing murderers. But
it's Springfield.
That seems to be you know, our excuse for everything. Oh, it's Springfield.
Yeah, that's exactly. Well, I mean, it's true. That's how these stories happen.
That's true. Just got to go with it.
Yeah.
But we see the Simpsons in the movie theater watching, what was it, Ernest, some terrible Ernest movie.
It's an Ernest. It's an Ernest. I don't know. I don't think it's not an actual Ernest movie. It was a made up Ernest movie.
No.
This is almost exactly like the same scene in Cape Fear. Have you seen either the original or the remake, Matt?
I have not, no.
They're very good movies, both of them.
Not surprised. The Simpsons tend to parody the really good ones.
They're very good movies, and they do real. This scene in particular, they do a really good job with the smoke and the kind of the atmosphere that we get.
Cool. But we see the Simpsons in the movie theater, and they're attempting to watch an Ernest movie, which I'm hoping this is like a dollar theater because there's no reason to ever pay money for watching one of those movies.
Ernest has his fans, Matt.
That's true. And of course, they are disturbed by a horribly laughing man smoking a cigar in a theater, which seems like it should have been illegal even then, even if it was the 90s. And of course, Homer is incensed because that person's cigar smoke is, you know, is blocking out his cigar smoke because apparently he is smoking a cigar from the Knoxville World's Fair 1983 that he has held on to until now.
And when we get a little, I don't know, foreshadowing? Knoxville, we get some Knoxville World's Fair obsession. I don't know what that is that we see.
Apparently, somebody on the writing staff went there and decided they're going to put it as much in the Simpsons as much as possible.
I wonder if the same writers were on staff by the time we get there to Bart on the Road.
Who knows? But if not, they just love that the Sun Sphere / Wig Sphere. But so when Homer asks Bob to, you know, keep it down and put out the cigar, Bob terrifies the children and they accuse him of writing the Bart those letters and just all around being a jerk, and Bob just laughs it off. We then have a montage of Bob exercising, you know, lifting weights, doing some running, some push-ups, and with his wonderful love and hate with a phonetic A. So it's, you know, it's love and hate on his hands. And we also see him jazzercising, or what did they call it back then?
Aerobics, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but Bob is getting it done. With his tattoo of Bart's head on a skateboard on his chest. Because apparently Bob got a lot of prison tattoos.
Well, what else are you going to do?
That's a good point. Then we see the Simpsons, specifically Marge and Homer, hiring a private investigator to try and convince Bob to leave town. Unluckily for them, this is apparently the world's worst private investigator because his entire shtick involves begging Bob and promising to be his best friend. And then crying when it doesn't work.
I really like it because that is exactly like that was me and my sister. Like when one of us wanted the other to do something, please, I'll be your best friend forever.
It's just the way it works, I suppose. But unfortunately for the Simpsons, that doesn't work for Bob. We then see Bob in an ice cream truck, which is terrifying to begin with. and he's going to take a little trip through the Simpsons neighborhood. And, you know.
The following neighborhood residents will not be killed by me. Ned Flanders, Maud Flanders.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Homer Simpson, Marge Simpson, Lisa Simpson, that little baby Simpson. That is all.
Woohoo! Did you hear, Bart? Hey.
Oh.
Oh. Poor Bart. Only one. I really like that little baby Simpson part.
Yes, exactly. That's my favorite. And that little baby Simpson. Not even
because no one knows Maggie's name.
No one knows Maggie's name. She's just the baby Simpson.
But of course, once this has happened, the Simpsons attempt to go into the witness relocation program with some very humorless FBI guys who give them a range of identities and choices that they could be. They could go to... was it Terror Lake, Screamville? But they settle on Cape Fear.
No, they actually they end up at Terror Lake. Cape Fear is a different option. They actually go to Terror Lake, man.
Oh, was Cape Fear an option? Am I remembering
yes,
that wrong?
Yes, Cape Fear is an option. They end up going to Terror Lake, which is like that's the tricky part. They don't actually go to Cape Fear.
Gotcha. Okay, I must have misheard that.
He lists them in like 8 seconds, and then you see like a sign up for Terror Lake. But
gotcha.
Yeah. In the fake intro that begins Act 3.
And then we see Homer wants to be John Elway, and we see a hilarious little cutaway to the Broncos losing the Super Bowl with a last-minute touchdown by Homer in some super old-timey football gear. And, of course, Homer just wants to, you know, score a touchdown. He doesn't want to actually win, apparently.
Well, he just wants to be John Elway. And at this point, John Elway had not kind of exorcised the demons. This is long before he won the back-to-back Super Bowls and kind of retired a champion. This is back when he was a great quarterback, but always came up short in the big games, sort of.
That's why we keep you around, Robbie, because you know these things, because I definitely don't.
Now John Elway is part owner of the Broncos and runs them for the most part.
Oh, that's cool.
Now they have another aging quarterback.
Well, yeah, aging. Apparently that's their shtick.
Peyton Manning. We don't have to, continue, Matt. I don't need to talk about football some more.
That's all right. Bart wants to be a Cockney bootblack, but we don't get a nice cutaway scene for that, unfortunately.
It's too bad.
But we do get to see the FBI guys choose an identity for Homer, which is that of Homer Thompson, because I that's different enough for the FBI. You know, not going to give him anything more than just we'll shift some letters around in the first few letters of your last name. That's good enough. And they try to get Homer to, you know, practice a little bit with his new identity, but unfortunately, Homer is he's Homer.
Oh, now, when I say hello, Mr. Thompson, and press down on your foot, you smile and nod.
No problem.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
I think he's talking to you.
Oh, Homer, you poor dumb bastard. But the Simpsons are preparing for their new life, and the FBI guys get them a new convertible, because their identities are going to suck, but that's okay, because... they get them a nice new car, and they also get a book of tapes. I guess I remember them from when I was a kid. It's a bunch of tapes in a plastic container.
Well, that's when you get it's a set. You'd get them in a giant book like that. I remember,
of course.
Yeah, you don't remember that, Matt?
Oh yeah, that's what I said. I remember. Okay. I don't remember what they were called or anything.
Yeah, it's just it's just like if you're getting a whole they'd give you a multi CD set. I guess they still do those, but yeah. Back in the cassette tape days, that's what you'd get when you're like a collection of an artist or, you know, like in this case, the Gilbert and Sullivan, you know.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
but these tapes are of the FBI Light Opera Society sings the complete Gilbert and Sullivan, which will be a theme in the rest of this episode, which is a great theme to have.
Yeah, they really do a great job.
Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah.
Do we know... We don't actually hear anyone but the Simpsons singing, do we?
No, Bob sings.
Bob sings, that's right. I meant in the car. But
oh, okay. No, I don't... I mean, I think there's a background singing, but you don't really hear much of it.
Yeah, so nothing to worry about anyway. We see them on their way to Terror Lake to have their new lives, and we pan down to Bob riding underneath the car. He has strapped himself in. Which he also gets to encounter some nice speed bumps, Homer pouring hot coffee on him, and going through a cactus patch, which I love the Homer sounding off the kids, like, who wants to drive through the cactus patch? And Bart and Lisa both say yes, and then Bob says no. And Homer just rolls with it up, two against one. I guess he thought Bob was Maggie.
Yeah, and this is the first, this is the beginning of them kind of going with the full-on Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner thing.
Yeah.
And they even said, the writers and creators have even said, they were pushing, Bart is the Roadrunner and Bob is the Wile E. Coyote, you know, that the endless chase. And with the fact that Bob just absorbs bodily punishment and then bounces right back without a permanent scratch on him, he hits his head on the speed bumps here and also then through the cactus patch and he's basically fine, although that probably would kill most people.
Well, yeah, but you know.
But it's really, it's great. It's so good.
But that actually ends our second act.
And when we come back, we get another intro. And this time it's in going into Terror Lake, and it's the Thompsons. We get with a whole new couch gag with them in their houseboat with a whole bunch of fish drop on them. Homer is wearing his witness relocation program shirt and hat. Just make sure that if anyone was following him, couldn't place that he was still Homer Simpson, they'd be able to find him. They live on the houseboat. I think, let's see, they Homer remarks that the best part about living on a houseboat is that if you don't like your neighbors, you can just drive away. And all his neighbors drive away on their houseboats.
That might be the best joke of the episode for me. You don't like your neighbors, you can just leave. And everyone does.
Everyone leaves. And then we get one of the most iconic jokes, gags, whatever you want to call it, in the entire series. Bob unstraps himself from the bottom of the car, then proceeds to step on some rakes.
Did you really not loop that at all?
No, that's the original. No, that's the original. That's the original. I didn't loop at all. You can go on YouTube and see, I believe, a 10-hour version of that where he just does it for 10 hours straight. It's so good. And this was originally... Cat, what are you doing? Jeez. Okay, this was originally just supposed to be one rake. But even they added a bunch of stuff into this to lengthen it out because they were running short. And to make it longer, they looped that rake scene for that long. And it's kind of funny that it's just out of necessity, they end up making something like one of the most memorable things ever in the show.
I know it's one of those jokes that just was intended as like something that just happens real quick and it gets thrown away. But when you loop it like that, it goes to annoyed and then back to funny. I mean, it kills me because I feel like this is the first time I saw this as a kid. And then you see Family Guy run it into the ground to the point where it's not even funny the first time anymore because you know what they're doing. But this was the first and best for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's even, like I mentioned, the Wile E. Coyote thing, like it works so well for Bob is because he's so otherwise a smart guy. Like he's otherwise really smart, really calculating, and yet just steps on these obvious rakes over and over and over again, the same noise. Kelsey Grammer was completely surprised when he first saw this episode because he only made that sound one time. And now they looped it over and over and over again. Oh, so it's so great. Where was I? Got the rakes. Grandpa, we cut back to Springfield. Grandpa is locked out of the house and needs his pills. And wolves are after him. Which is this the first time we get that, like the wolves howling in the distance after somebody?
I think so. I mean, it's possible, but it's a great joke that just keeps coming back.
Bart is wandering around Terror Lake. He runs into Bob, who was strapped to a bottom of a nice old lady's car. And then he wants to just have a conversation with Bart while he lies in the street, but he gets trampled by first a marching band and then a series of elephants who are honoring the Hannibal crossing the Alps for some reason.
Well, of course, you got to honor Hannibal's crossing of the Alps. I mean, that was the Punic Wars, man. That was important.
In Terror Lake, apparently, they really want to honor.
Well, maybe they're of mostly North African descent.
Maybe.
Descended from the Carthaginians.
But that's more of the Looney Tunes of him, like, his head gets stepped on by an elephant, literally.
Well, it's funny because in the future, there's the episode with Sideshow Bob's brother Cecil. And our brother from another series, and you see comedy tip from Krusty when Cecil is auditioning for him, saying the more dignity a guy has, the funnier it is to do this kind of stuff to him. And I feel like this is where they really came up with that. It's like the more stuck up person is when something Looney Tunes type happens to them, the funnier it is. And they use that in this episode constantly, and it never gets old.
We cut to Bob in his staying in the Bates Motel because apparently we need more kind of thriller / horror references in this film in this episode, and he's planning his attack on Bart.
Roman numeral 3, surprise boy in bed, and disembowel him. No, I don't like that bowel in there. Gut him. Ah, le mot juste.
I don't like that bowel in there. That's such good. So good.
The mot juste. I still use that phrase, even though I don't know what it even means.
Bart is, the family's at the houseboat. You'd think after he saw Bob, they might want to move again or call the FBI or something. But nah. Homer's not great at reassuring Bart.
Come on, let me cut you a brownie while they're still hot.
Dad, I'm kind of edgy right now. I'd appreciate you not coming in my room screaming and brandishing a butcher knife.
Why? Oh, right. The Sideshow Bob thing. Oh, I'm sorry, boy. Bart, do you want to see my new chainsaw and hockey mask? Ah! Oh, sorry. What am I thinking?
That is the dumbest thing ever, and I love it to death.
You want to see my new chainsaw on hockey mask? It's so good. That's so good. Oh, man. Again, like, this, the back and forth between, like, the silly and the, like, this horrific threatening, like, murder is so, like, so quick, so snappy. You don't have a moment to breathe. Like, it's just constant joke, and then, like, something that raises the tension. Bob attacks, ties up the family, which Lisa thinks Homer's been drugged. He is just sleeping. I guess Homer can just sleep anywhere, even after he's been bound with rope.
Well, you know, that's Homer for you.
Yeah,
he knows what he does. He knows the important things in life are napping.
your son is getting murdered, it's best, you know, you need a power nap. Bob attacks him, corners Bart on the end of a boat. Is it the what part of the boat is it? It's the front. What's the front part called?
The bow.
The bow of the boat. And ask Bart if he has any last requests.
Well, Bart, any last requests?
Well, there is one, but nah.
No, go on.
Well, you have such a beautiful voice.
Guilty as charged.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I was wondering if you could sing the entire score of the HMS Pinafore.
Very well, Bart. I shall send you to heaven before I send you to hell.
And this is, it's kind of insane what they do here.
Insanely awesome? You're right.
I mean, it's amazing. I love it. But it's just such a crazy thing to have happen. Like, that Bob starts singing, you know, Kelsey Grammer starts singing it as Bob, all of the HMS Pinafore. Like, just, and we cut to multiple songs with more and more elaborate costumes until finally he sings the last song in full British military uniform.
Well, that's the most important part. You can't sing correctly if you don't have your uniform on, Bobby.
I pulled this because it'd be a shame not to hear Kelsey Grammer sing.
For he himself has said it, and it's clearly to his credit, that he is an Englishman. He remains an Englishman.
And now, the final curtain.
Hold it right there, Sideshow Bob. You're under arrest.
By Lucifer's beard!
Yeah.
It's, again, more of the, like, the absolute silly, like, the fact that it has all these elaborate costumes and is singing and it takes it completely serious, and then just right away that menace, that threat is right there. Like, Kelsey Grammer, like, it does such a good job at just bouncing back and forth between making Bob this ridiculous figure and then unbelievably threatening. I mean, the animation helps in that regard as well. Like, they really, they highlight it, making, like, his ridiculous hair and that crazy, the crazy way he looks back and forth between, like, a cartoon character and, like, a monstrous horror character, almost.
Absolutely. It's just, like you said, it's the quick switchover between the two, because you go from, oh, this is hilarious, to, oh boy, we're in trouble, back to hilarious again when you see the cops in their bathrobes. It is when you mix those two elements, it makes the scary stuff scarier and the funny stuff funnier. I kind of wish they would still try and do more stuff like that today. But
Yeah, it's a, and I don't, like, I know Bart's going to make it. Like, I know Bart doesn't get hurt. I know Bob gets arrested at the end of this, but it does such a good job at keeping you engaged and worried about Bart and about, like, the threat of Bob is still there. Like, even with him being such a comedic figure, it's still, like, you just the combination of the writing and the animation and Kelsey Grammer's performance, it just maintains a level of tension, which is absolutely necessary in an episode like this, where, you know, we need to keep, Bob needs to stay a threat. And it's so good. It's an extremely difficult thing to do, a thing that a lot of thrillers can't do. And this Simpsons episode does it in 22 minutes.
It's so true, because if you didn't feel like Bob was actually a threat, it would just be kind of boring in those sections where he's supposed to appear threatening. But something about Kelsey Grammer's voice and the music, especially in the background, really sells it. Like, it catches your attention, where you're like, oh, you know, it was funny, but all of a sudden everything changes and you're stuck into that real, like, Hitchcockian horror for a second. And it takes it back and forth. And the sound design, especially, I think, helps a lot with that. And Kelsey Grammer's amazing voice.
Yeah, Alf Clausen uses a part of the theme from Cape Fear. After this, it kind of became the music cue for Bob. Like, after this, it kind of stayed, like, every time when you see Bob in future episodes, they still use the music. It's the original film by the score from Bernard Herrmann. And it became his theme after this, and it works. It really is very menacing, and it really helps build that atmosphere. So Bob's arrested, and we get the classic Wiggum line.
Take him away, boys.
Hey, I'm the chief here. Break him away, toys.
What'd you say, chief?
Do what the kid says.
Bob's arrested, goes back to jail. They come home in Springfield. Grandpa is apparently a woman now? Or I don't understand how not taking some pills.
I don't understand how. Maybe if he was taking estrogen pills, I could see that. But I don't. Maybe he was on testosterone, but that wouldn't make him into a woman not having that. I'm just confused.
Yeah, it's just a weird gag to end the episode with. But Jasper wants to court him or her or whatever. I guess it's Grandpa. And that's how the episode ends, with Grandpa agreeing to go on a date with Jasper because he has tickets to go to see Steve and Edie. I don't...
Whoever that is.
It's an old-timey thing. Like, you know, it's a grandpa joke. But ultimately, I don't know if you guys can tell, a very, very, very good episode. One of my favorites, honestly. Matt, you there?
Yeah, sorry. I would completely agree. This is a little spoiler for the rest of the show. It's going to be tough to figure out where to put this one.
Yeah. It's a very, very good episode, and we will rank it at the end of the show like we do. I have not one, but two submissions for my favorite episode for this.
No surprise.
Yeah, no surprise. First, from Brian, also named Bort, we have come to my favorite episode, Cape Fear. I don't know what I can say about this episode that you guys haven't already said, but I'm going to try. This episode is an absolute classic, jam-packed from beginning to end, uses my favorite guest star, Kelsey Grammer, as Sideshow Bob, to absolute perfection. Provides us plenty of classic bits such as Die Bart Die, Nobody Who Speaks German Could Be an Evil Man, The Rake Shtick, and Sideshow Bob's one-man performance of the HMS Pinafore. If I could make any one piece of Simpsons merchandise magically appear, it would be a recording of Kelsey Grammer singing the entire score. And yes, that'd be great. This episode is such a classic. It has the honor of having a play whose plot revolves around it. Play Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, takes place after the apocalypse, and the only remaining piece of art is from the pre-apocalyptic world is Cape Fear. This episode, my vote counts for anything. It should knock Marge vs. Monroe off the top, and it should stay there. Ooh. Secondly, from Connor. Hey, Robbie, Matt, my name's Connor. I'm a huge fan of the show, and I have a submission. I know it's your next episode, but I just have to go with Cape Fear. It's one of my episodes where I could watch it dozens of times in a row and not get bored. Really made me love Sideshow Bob as a character, and is one of the reasons he's my favorite secondary character to date. It's an episode that made me fall in love with The Simpsons. It's hilarious as well. I mean, who could forget the endless rake scene? Priceless. It's everything you can ask for in a Simpsons episode. I'm going to say pretty much perfect. There's not a second where I'm not loving it, and that's what I think makes an amazing Simpsons episode. So there you go, Matt. Two my favorite episode submissions.
I definitely have to agree with the second person there. That was Connor, I think
Connor,
you said?
Connor, yes.
But there's no part in this episode where you're not loving it. There's no really spot to get bored. You know, all the jokes hit so quickly. It's not like modern shows where they're establishing shots for 2 or 3 minutes or whatever, even in comedies. But every single second of this seems to be well planned, which even accidental things like the rake job, rake joke.
Yeah, I know exactly. Like the thing that is they did out of necessity adds to that, it's so crazy that it works out like that. But again, thank you guys for submitting, both Brian and Connor. If you guys in the future have your favorite episode, you want to get us to read your submission on air, just email us at simpsonshowpod@gmail.com. And when we get to it, I will read it on air. Next up, Matt, some really good discussion, I think, in comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comes from the news group is where I will go back to the old alt.tv.simpsons news group archived on Google Groups. Look up what people were talking about at the time when this episode debuted, and we'll just bring up anything that's interesting. The first thing, I'm just going to read this. This is from the time period. Well, having lurked long enough here, and this is about the squirrel and the legs a bit. the purposes of gambling, putting your squirrel down your pants. There were a few questions about the squirrels, and I have a suggestion. I read this originally in Harper's of November 1992. It's on page 32, titled In Praise of Ferret Leggers. I'm not going to quote the whole thing, just a couple of paragraphs. Quote starts here. Basically, ferret legging involves the tying of a competitor's trousers at the ankles and subsequent insertion into those trousers of a couple of particularly vicious fur-coated foot-long carnivores called parrots. The brave contestant's belt is then pulled tight, and he proceeds to stand there in front of judges as long as he can, while animals with claws like hypodermic needles and teeth like number 16 carpet tacks try their damnedest to get out. From a dark and obscure past, the sport has made an astonishing comeback in recent years. It's a real thing, Matt.
It's a terrifying thing that sounds very cruel to ferrets.
It sounds cruel to ferrets and to people, but it exists. That's crazy. And the other thing, I found that was really interesting. The other thing, so many people, I'm starting to understand why the writers and creators started to really resent the internet fans. Because, by all accounts, this is one of the best episodes of all time. One of my favorites, widely loved, even by people who don't think it's their favorite, certainly think it's a great one. There were many, many entries about how this episode isn't good. I have here one. I know, it's as if they ran out of ideas. It's too bad because they used to be so original. I personally think it's The Simpsons' last season. Yes, season 5. Well, Simpsons' last season. I agree. This season definitely is off to a bad start. The first episode was awful. So Homer's Barbershop Quartet, awful. Sideshow Bob episode was not much better. They used to cram 45 minutes of ideas into a half-hour show. Now they seem to be adding pointless filler, like the rake scene, the endless songs in the first episode. You mean the best parts of those? And people arguing about the rake scene. Like, is it good? Is it not good? Just constant. I understand. When, by all accounts, you're doing great work and people are still being heavily critical. I think at a certain point I would just stop reading those news groups. But
For real, I mean, it's just... I feel like I've had to come across this realization about myself as well as when you first see something... You got to give it some time for yourself to digest it. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to realize, like, your impressions as soon as you finish watching something are not usually good enough, to be honest. I mean, they're usually just, you know, off the cuff kind of things. You really have to sit and stew on it. And I feel like these people are, as soon as the episode is over, running to their computers, dialing up their BBSs and just talking crap about it for no particular reason.
Yes. And I try and that's why I often try and temper my criticism of anything in our show. Because I realize that it's not always, it's part of a greater picture. And I don't want to be one of these people that when people are listening to this 20 years from now or whatever, And they go, oh, wow, look what these people thought. So stupid. So, but I mean, yeah. Okay, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is now time for our next segment. It's time for Listener Question of the Week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Listener Question of the Week for this week is, what is your favorite episode with Homer in the title? Tons of great responses. As always, really appreciate all your answers. Wish I had time to read them all. Let's see, we have Spike at Your Apocalypse on Twitter. Homer the Heretic, again, for pretty much every reason that's been mentioned already. It's just the best, okay? Sunny at JD Hap. See you in hell, Candy Boys. Homer Badman. Great podcast. Keep up the good work. Thank you very much, Sunny. Amanda at Draw to Insanity. Homer loves Flanders. Long live the Flimson family. Mike at Mike Bloom Type. Homer goes to college. A day didn't go by in my collegiate days that I didn't hope the professor would drop his note cards. And Sean, Shawnee Mac 15. Homer versus the 18th Amendment. The entire episode is a workshop in brilliance. Which, yes. On to Facebook. Steve, Homer at the Bat is my all-time favorite episode. I love Homer's homemade football. The enchanted jockstrap line. Kids tell me when your father stops scratching himself. Bernie singing to Homer, not once, not twice, but thrice. Homer in reply wishes he was at home with a big bag of potato chips. Potato chips. And the show ending song, Unbeatable. Jessica, Homer, which is the H-O-M-R. I'm gonna count it. It's his name. It's missing a letter, but still his name. Homer all the way, if only for all the crying. I love getting to see Homer and Lisa Bond. Seeing Homer as being brilliant, then deciding to put the crayon back. This broke all my heart right along with Lisa. Maybe it's because I'm a daddy's girl. Maybe it's because I have always been different than the rest of my family. Maybe it's because we find out that Homer could be smart if he wanted. This episode could also be titled Ignorance Really Is Bliss. Excuse me, I have something that really is. Really one of the more affecting episodes of that are not considered maybe in the golden years. Chris, his answer, Homer at the Bat, episode sealed the deal for me forever be a Simpsons fanatic. Brian, Homer's enemy. I know it's a divisive episode, but I stand firmly on the side that loves it. Rest in peace, Grimy. Daniel, the same answer, Homer's enemy. The gallows humor in this episode, especially the very final scene, change the channel, Marge, is some of the finest ever conceived by mankind. Is it mean-spirited? Yes. Is it still hilarious? Hell yes. And finally, we have Laura. Tough choice, but Colonel Homer is a great one. Laura Lane Lumpkin singing Your Wife Don't Understand You with Homer's little interjections. That's right! Except for the pickup truck. Is such a well-done scene. Smile emoticon. Matt?
You guys have some fantastic answers to that, but I'm going to have to stick with my answer of Homer versus the 18th Amendment, just because the introduction of Rex Banner, which is, he seems like kind of a stupid character with looking back on it, but he just works so perfectly for that episode when you need someone who's, you know, ready to bring in actual authority. That plus the knocking over tombstones, making booze in the basement, and the speakeasy, just... It is a all around a fantastic episode.
Yeah, he works in The Simpsons. Like Rex Banner works in The Simpsons, and Dave Thomas
absolutely
is such a good comedian. Like he's so good at filling that weird place that Rex Banner is. I can't wait. We're not even close to it, but I think that's the episode we mentioned the most of. My answer, probably not surprising, is Homer's Enemy. I absolutely love Homer's Enemy. I think about it a lot. It is, it's great. It's kind of an anti-Simpsons episode, anti-Homer episode even. Like it perfectly, like that, like Homer Defined and Homer's Enemy are like the two, bookends kind of on Homer. And I really...
It's true that they come at Homer from completely different angles, like Homer as this great hero, and then Homer as this horrible person, and why can't anybody see it?
Yeah, it's great. Next week's question, what is your favorite episode based on a movie? This is an example, Cape Fear, Rosebud is another I can think off the top of my head, but there's a lot of them. I mean, like, you know, the basic construct of the episode is based on what happened in a movie. I'm going to leave it at that because you guys are always very innovative and inventive about how you answer these questions. I'm not going to try and put too many rules. You can find the question on our social media on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. Again, you can also email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, I'll put up the question. You can answer it. I also post occasional links and stuff to Simpsons related things. Next up, Matt, you know what time it is. Time for a showdown. It's time.
Oh, no.
Time for no Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
the No Google Trivia Challenge. So Matt and I will each challenge each other with three trivia questions about The Simpsons. One easy, one medium, and one hard. And see who can stump the other. And this season we have stakes. Whoever at the end of the year has the most quote-unquote points, as our system gives us, will have to... the loser will have to drink a milkshake with various disgusting food items put into it. We've got some suggestions already, one which was cough syrup. I would do that, but I think that can actually kill you if you drink too much cough syrup. Matt, did you know that? You know about that? Anything?
If you drink too much, yes.
Maybe we can put a shot.
Type liquid is probably a bad idea.
We can put a shot in, maybe. Like a normal shot.
If we feel like we're having trouble breathing that day.
Yeah, I think after drinking that thing, we'll have trouble breathing. Whoever has to do it. Yes, we'll film that and put it on YouTube or something. But I'm in the lead at the moment. 6-3 after one episode. Matt, start us off. Give me an easy question.
All right. Your first question, and there is a theme today. Which book about baseball statistics inspired Lisa to become Bart's Little League coach in Muddy Bart?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is an easy question? Oh, listen, we're going to the newer episodes. I see how it is. Oh, okay.
Well, no, I mean, one, I know you know baseball. Two, I know you have seen this movie and probably read this book, so, you know.
Moneyball. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. That is correct. Yes.
Yes. I'm worried. I'm going to see a trend now.
No, that was really easy.
Okay. What your easy question? I also have a theme. Very obvious theme. Sideshow Bob is a member of what political party?
He is a Republican.
That is correct.
No surprise. Him and his entire family.
Yep.
Which, that's one of the things I love about the later seasons, is when we actually meet the rest of his family, and they are fantastic. I cannot wait. That's one of the few things in the later seasons that I can't wait till we get to. Legitimately looking forward to it. All right, your medium question.
Okay.
Which famous author, noted for his Rabbit series, wrote Krusty's 20-page book in Insane Clown Posse?
He's known for his Rabbit series?
Mm-hmm. Krusty's quote is, "Book writing, what a scam. It's only 20 pages, and this guy wrote it for me. What's your name, fella?" He is one of the few authors to ever win two Pulitzer Prizes for fiction.
I feel like I should know this. I haven't seen Insane Clown Posse in years.
It's from season 12, so it's definitely in your most hated seasons.
Yeah, those I've been watching like the late like 20s lately. And you're right, mm-hmm. They are better. Those late, like early mid teens have some particularly. We're gonna repeat the question one time, Matt, and then if I don't know it, I don't know it.
Okay, which famous author, noted for his Rabbit series and two Pulitzer Prizes for fiction, wrote Krusty's 20-page book in Insane Clown Posse?
Rabbit series.
Yeah, it's weird to call it that because I didn't know this either. I was trying to
add I don't know. I can't. I'm blanking. What is it?
It is John Updike.
John Updike? Rabbit series? What?
Yeah, apparently that's the name of the protagonist in his famous series of books.
But they're rabbit? Okay, whatever. I've read John Updike. I
don't remember. Really?
Okay. Yeah. He's a good author.
Say that I have. I really have to put it on the list.
A little depressing, but, you know, still good. Mm-hmm. Okay, Matt. What is your medium question? You ready for it?
I am ready.
What is Sideshow Bob's full name, including all titles?
All titles?
Yeah, titles.
Like,
you're a mister. That's a title.
Okay.
Don't worry. He's not a knight. It's not a secret knight somewhere.
True. I'm trying to remember if he is a doctor or not, and I don't think so.
That's the tricky part of this question. Otherwise, it's easy.
I'm gonna go with Dr. Robert Underdunk Terwilliger.
You are correct.
Oh, whew. I was trying to think of whether to throw Esquire in there.
I mean, you could add you could add PhD if you want to.
True. What was his PhD in again? I forget.
I forget too, actually. I know he's a doctor.
Well, to the wiki.
I don't ever. Give me a hard question, Matt.
All right, your hard question is pretty hard, but if you've been watching the 20s seasons, might get this.
Here and there. I have not been like just going through them. As we've been referencing them, I've been watching them.
Yeah, this one's a really good one. I actually thought was definitely could have belonged in the earlier seasons. What is the name of the book that Lisa, Bart, Homer, Patty, Moe, and Professor Frink write in The Book Job?
I don't know. We're not going to waste time. I don't know the answer to that
one. Okay. The Troll Twins of Underbridge Academy.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. There's no guess on that either.
That really wasn't a...
Okay.
I was going to have a bonus question for you as well. What does the publisher change it to? And that is the Vampire Twins of Transylvania Prep.
Okay. It's good. It's great. Ready for a hard question, Matt?
I'm ready. Hit me.
What is Sideshow Bob's first appearance?
His first appearance.
Episode first appears in.
That is a tough one. It's definitely season one, but I'm pretty sure it is not Krusty Gets Busted. I'm pretty sure he's on TV in one of the other ones. I'm going to say there's No Disgrace Light Home.
Sorry, incorrect.
Oh, is it Barth the Genius?
Nope. What is an episode that has lots of crowds in it?
Oh, Telltale Head?
Telltale Head is the answer.
Oh, man. I thought for sure he'd been in the background when Bart was watching TV before that. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Well, we now, Matt, you narrowed the gap. It is 7-6 after two episodes. I made us a little handy-dandy spreadsheet that will calculate all this as we go. So, Matt is just 1 point behind. And this is
we're saying they need to come up with some harder questions.
I got 1 point this week, Matt. What do you mean? You may need to make up harder questions. I got 1 point.
So I need to continue in this vein.
Oh, okay. All right, then I thought my questions were tough. I'm gonna make them even harder. How about that? But yeah, you guys, if you have actually, before we continue, I have some questions from some listeners, Matt. Some stumperinos. First from Sean in Diggs. What hobby does Diggs get Bart involved in?
Diggs?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. That doesn't even sound familiar.
Season 25.
Oh, yeah. I'm only up through season 23 on my rewatch. Yeah, no idea. Diggs, no idea. No clue.
Falconry.
Falconry, okay. That sounds like something Bart would do.
Yeah. And two more questions from Danny at Woosh Danny H. First question, why was Hank Hill and his family in Springfield?
For the football game in Bart Star.
Correct. Good job. And finally, what were two of the widgets on the Mr. X website? I'm guessing he means like the memes or whatever.
Yeah, there was definitely the Dancing Jesus. That was the important one.
Yep, that's one.
The only other one I can remember is the hit counter technically counts as a widget. So,
I am not going to count that one, Matt.
Oh, well, you're wrong.
Well, I don't think he meant widget in that one.
I'm going to go with the flying toaster.
That is correct. There you go. See? That's, Dancing Jesus, flying toasters, clocks, a bell, and some crawling worms. They have that website on the Wayback Machine that they made for that episode. It's still up. It's cached. Cached, what do I say? But that will do it for the No Google Trivia Challenge. If you have any questions or themes you'd like to submit, reach out to us on any of our social media places, and I will give them to Matt, see if he can figure them out. Did a good job this week. Aside from the episode he hasn't seen. You know what, Matt? It is time for our final segment. It's time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Matt, I'm going to throw this out there right now. This is new number one.
You know, I was thinking about fighting on it, but I really can't. This episode is fantastic. Its pacing is amazing. The swapping back and forth between genuinely thrilling and Looney Tunes type action, Bob singing, Kelsey Grammer, there's really no question at this point.
Yeah.
Is definitely the new number one.
Yeah, Marge vs. Monorail is great. This, I think, is harder to do. The fact that they made a thriller episode that is also hilarious. Like, it does both those things. That's crazy that it works. That, like, it almost seems effortless. Like, just rewatching it, I watched it 3 times this week. It's just insane how good it is. New number one, Cape Fear, knocking down March vs. Monorail to number two, still in last place, 82, Homer's Odyssey. But there will be a day when Homer's Odyssey is no longer in last place. There will be a day. It may be a while, but we'll get there. You can find this... See, that was easy. That was easy, man. I like it when we disagree. You find this list on our website, SimpsonsShow.com. Simple as that. You can find links to all of our stuff, our Facebook, our Twitter, our RSS feed, links to this list, and also links to our Patreon if you'd like to support us. Obviously, we'd appreciate it. What's our next episode, Matt?
Let's see. Next episode. Could it be? Homer Goes to College.
Another excellent
meet our
one.
Nerd friends.
Yes, database. That is the final. I guess not. I thought Homer Goes to College was one of the season 4 production, but it was not. This is an episode written by Conan O'Brien. So it's one that tackles a lot of those college movie tropes. And I'm excited to finally see it. Finally discuss it on here with you, Matt.
Aw, you're so sweet. And I'm super excited, too, because I actually really love that episode.
No, we kind of hammer this over and over and over again, but there's not any bad episodes for a long time. These are, like, tons and tons of great, great episodes all in a row.
Well, we said that about season 4, and there ended up being a couple that we were a little lukewarm on.
Lukewarm, but not bad.
No, that's true.
And Homer Goes to College, Rosebud, Treehouse of Horror, Marge and the Lamb, Bart's Inner Child, Boy Scouts in the Hood, Last Temptation of Homer. I could continue just over and over and over.
It's quite all right.
It's so great. Great run of episodes right in the classic years. It's so great. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast at Handsome Boys Comics Hour, available wherever fine podcasts are given away for free. Matt does not participate in social media unless you are a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
And I should be tweeting more. I apologize.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, you know, I'm not used to it. I'm actually going undercover as a NBA floor wiper this week. So unless you are a Patreon subscriber, the only place you'll find me is mopping up sweat off of basketball courts.
Well, basketball's in the offseason right now, man.
No, preseason started last night.
Really? Oh, my. Already?
Yeah, I worked the game.
I know, but jeez. There's, like, no offseason for the NBA. It's, like, 3 months, and then there they're really right back isn't. On. With that, I think we can say I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Shh.